Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Unfiltered Faith Beyond the Church Walls. I am your host, Evelyn.
And I am Crystal. And thank you so much for joining us today. Whether you're listening on your morning commute, during your quiet time, while you're folding laundry, or maybe you're out walking your dog on this beautiful day, we're so grateful you're spending this time with us.
Absolutely. Every week we walk through our 12-week study of the book of Deuteronomy, and we are in week 3. Our prayer is that these conversations don't just increase your knowledge of Scripture, however, it would deepen your relationship with the Lord. Mm-hmm. Before we dive into today's discussion, we want to remind you that we are in our 12-week Deuteronomy Bible study. That guide is available on Amazon. If purchasing a copy is impossible right now, that's okay. Just send me a direct message on our Beyond the Church Walls Ministry Facebook page, and we'll gladly send you a free PDF copy download. We never want the cost of anything to keep anyone from studying God's Word.
Exactly. Our heart is simply to get people into Scripture because God's Word changes lives.
Absolutely. Let's open in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for another opportunity to gather around your Word. Thank you that every page of Scripture points us to who you are and reveals your heart towards your people. As we open Deuteronomy today, we ask that you would quiet every distraction and prepare our hearts to receive whatever you want to teach us. Reveal areas where we need to grow. Encourage those who may be discouraged today. Draw us closer to you, Lord, and help us not just hear your word, but to live it. We ask all this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Well, Crystal, this week's lesson really made me stop and think. You know, there are certain passages in the Bible that become so familiar that sometimes we don't slow down enough to really consider what the scripture is saying. Mm-hmm. Deuteronomy chapter 6 is one of those passages. Most Christians have heard these verses before. We've heard them preached. We've read them. We've probably even memorized some of them. But being familiar with scripture can sometimes be dangerous because we assume we already understand something. However, this week reminded me that God wasn't simply giving Israel another command. He was actually revealing his heart.
Yeah, I agree. And I thought the same thing. So when I opened the lesson, I thought, okay, like I know where this is going. But by the time I finished studying, I realized I had been reading these verses from the perspective of what God wanted me to do instead of what he wanted me to become. So that's a huge difference.
Yeah, it really is a big difference. And I think that's what Moses was actually leading the people to understand as well. So if we think about where they were in history at that moment, here they were standing right on the edge of the promised land. Mm-hmm. 40 years of wandering were almost over. Everything they'd hoped for was literally right in front of them. Now, if you were Moses, you might be thinking, this would be a perfect time to give them like a military strategy for what they're about to encounter, to be able to, you know, to strategize or, you know, conquer the cities that they're about to, again, encounter. But that's not what he does. Instead, he starts talking about loving God. I've always found that pretty fascinating because Moses understood something that we sometimes forget. The greatest threat to Israel wasn't the Canaanites. It wasn't the fortified cities, or it wasn't even those giants they were so concerned about. The greatest threat was what would happen after they settled into their comfortable lives that they were about ready to be head into in the promised land.
Yeah, and that's a really good point because comfort has a way of making us, you know, independent.
Yeah.
Has a way of making us not look towards God. So when life is hard, we pray. But when we're waiting on answers, you know, we seek the Lord. When we don't know what tomorrow holds, we're constantly depending on him. But yeah, once life settles down, you know, sometimes our dependence begins to settle down too. And that's not always intentional. It's just slowly kind of happens.
Yeah, it's true. And we did talk about that, you know, like it's a slow process. Sometimes you just get kind of complacent, you know, and Moses had already seen this cycle in the Israelites. Mm-hmm. He had watched Israel cry out to God when they were trapped at the Red Sea. Then they complained that they were thirsty. Then they complained that they were hungry. And then they doubted God again over and over and over. However, God remained faithful. Mm-hmm. Yet over and over, they struggled to trust him. And that's not common of what we're seeing today, you know. Mm-hmm. Now Moses knows they're about to experience something completely different. Instead of waking up wondering where the next meal is coming from and relying on God, they're going to wake up surrounded by abundance in that promised land that they're mm-hmm. heading into. Instead of wandering through the wilderness, they'll be living in homes. You know, instead of surviving day by day and asking for Lord's help, they'll begin building lives. And Moses knows something. Blessings can become distractions if we're not careful. That's, I think, what his big concern was.
Yeah. And I don't think we talk about that enough. We usually think blessings automatically draw us closer to God. And, you know, sometimes they do, but sometimes they make us feel self-sufficient. We start believing that we built the life we have, that we earned everything, that we figured it out. And without realizing it, our dependence shifts from God to ourselves.
Yeah, that's it. Isn't that exactly what Moses warns them about just a few verses later? You know, he basically is saying, when you're living in those houses, don't forget who gave them to you.
Right.
When you're eating from those vineyards you didn't plant, don't forget who made that possible. And when life becomes everything you prayed for, don't forget the God you prayed to. And, you know, that is, we talked at length about that last night. I think that message is for every one of us, you know, that's listening to this, every one of us in the world today. And let's be honest, most of us don't forget God overnight. It's just a slow drift. You know, it's subtle. We miss one quiet time, but then it becomes two quiet times. Prayer becomes shorter. Bible reading becomes occasional instead of daily. And church time becomes like optional instead of essential. You know, before too long, we realize we've been living on yesterday's relationship with God. And where are we today? You know, we wake up and it's like, wow, what happened?
Yeah. I know we've said it a lot, you know, just that word drift. I mean, it really stands out because nobody wakes up one morning and says, oh, I think today I'm just going to walk away from God.
Exactly.
It happens little by little. Our life gets busy. Responsibilities increase. Kids needs us. Our jobs demand more. Ministry becomes busy. And even good things can slowly crowd out the most important thing. And before we know it, we're spending more time talking to everyone else than we are talking to our Lord.
That's so true. And I think that's why verse 5 is so powerful. You know, Moses says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength.
Mm-hmm.
So if we look at that scripture deeply, we notice that he doesn't start with like a behavior. He starts with love. That's important because God has never wanted people who simply follow rules. Mm-hmm. That's not what he's looking for. He's always wanted people who love him. You know, obedience without love eventually becomes a duty. And I mentioned that last night, but obedience that flows from love becomes worship to our Lord and Savior, right? And I think that's the difference Moses was trying to help Israel understand. God wasn't asking for religious activity. He wasn't looking for activity, you know, do this and be obedient and all these things. He was asking for their hearts and a deep relationship.
Yeah. And, you know, honestly, I think that's still what he's asking from us today. So he's not impressed by how many Christian podcasts we listen to or how many Bible verses we can quote or even how many ministries we're involved in. If our hearts are far from him, I mean, he wants relationship for anything else.
Yeah. You know, as I was studying this week, getting prepared for a Bible study, I kept coming back to the one word that Moses repeats. It's the word all. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's easy as we're reading scripture to just fly past some of those words. But if we think about that, God isn't asking for a percentage of our lives. He's not saying, give me your Sundays or give me your morning before work. He is saying, I want every part of you. And honestly, that's where I think many Christians struggle. Not because we don't love God, but because we've learned to compartmentalize him. You know, we have our church life. We have our work life. We have our family life. We have our social media life. We have our financial life. And somewhere in there, we try to fit God into one of those boxes. But God never intended to be part of our life. He is always meant to be the center of our life, number one, you know?
Yeah, and I think that's such an important distinction. Because if he's only part of our life, then everything else basically competes with him.
Yeah.
But when he's at the center, then everything else revolves around him.
That's right.
So that changes the way we look at our marriages, the way we raise our children, the way we handle conflict, even the way we spend money. It all flows from that relationship with God.
That's exactly it. I think sometimes people misunderstand this passage. They hear, love God with all your heart, and immediately they think it's talking about emotions. Now, emotions certainly do play a role, But biblical love goes much deeper than feelings. There are going to be seasons when God feels silent. There's going to be moments when we're hurting or grieving or confused or even disappointed. Those moments don't mean we stop loving him. You know, love is a choice. It's a commitment. It's faithfulness. It's saying, Lord, I don't understand everything you're doing here right now, but I still trust you. And that's the kind of love Moses is describing to the Israelites here.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, that reminds me of marriage. So you've been married for what, like almost 36 years now?
Almost 36 years.
And I'm guessing every day hasn't felt exactly the same. So there have probably been wonderful seasons and difficult seasons, but love isn't based on whether everything feels perfect that day. It's a covenant.
That's right.
And you continue choosing one another. And that's exactly what God established with Israel, a covenant relationship.
Yeah, that's a beautiful comparison because you're right. Every day is not the same, you know, and there are days that, you know, there are struggles because covenant love remains faithful. And here's something I think we sometimes overlook. God isn't asking Israel to do something he hadn't already demonstrated himself.
Right.
You know, he loved them first. He loved us first.
Yep.
You know, he rescued them first. He provided for them first. He protected them first. So everything God asked of Israel was a response of what he had already done. And isn't that the gospel?
Mm-hmm.
God loved us before we ever loved him. Romans tells us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us.
Yeah.
You know, our love is simply our response to his incredible love.
And that, you know, should take all the pressure off trying to earn his acceptance.
That's right.
You know, sometimes people think Christianity is about proving yourself to God. I know at one point when I was younger, you know, I did. It's you want to go to the altar, but you feel like you're just such a mess.
Yeah.
You have to fix things first. Yeah, that's when you should go.
Yeah, absolutely.
But that's never been the message of Scripture. We're accepted because of Christ.
That's right.
Now we spend the rest of our lives growing in that relationship.
That's exactly it. So that leads us to somewhere we mentioned during Bible study this week, the rich young ruler.
Yes.
I do think the story perfectly illustrates what Moses is talking about. Here's a man who comes running to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
He's respectful. He's sincere. He's moral.
Mm-hmm.
He says he kept the commandments from his youth. So if we were standing there watching this conversation, we probably would have thought, well, now there's a great man,
mm-hmm.
you know? But Jesus saw something that nobody else could see, and that's his heart, which is what Jesus can see in all of us.
Right.
You know, Jesus wasn't impressed by outward obedience if inwardly something else occupied first place, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And when he told the young man to sell all his possessions and follow him, the man walked away grieving. You know, why is that? You know, it's because Jesus had exposed the one area he had never surrendered. So his wealth wasn't the problem. His attachment to it, however, was.
Right.
It had become the thing he trusted more than he trusted God.
Right. I mean, that just, like you said, just shows that he lacked trust in God with his finances.
That's right.
You know, it could be also not only lack of trust, but pride.
Yep.
Some pride in his heart.
Yep.
I think when people hear the story, you know, that's why it makes people just uncomfortable, because we naturally want to ask, well, what's my thing? You know, maybe it isn't money, but maybe it's approval.
Yeah.
Maybe it's success. Maybe it's comfort. Maybe it's control. Whatever we struggle to surrender, that often reveals where our heart is.
That's exactly right. And I think it's important to say this. God isn't trying to take good things away from us. He's a good father. He's trying to get things to us. Sometimes people hear messages like this and think, so I'm not supposed to enjoy my family, my career, my hobbies. Well, of course you are. You know, those are gifts from God. The problem isn't loving God's gifts. The problem is loving God's gifts more than God himself.
Right.
And there is a huge difference. You know, God should never have to compete with the blessing he gave us. And I think last night, you know, I made a comment and you know, Amy says, you need to make that a Facebook post. I'm like, yeah, you know, you're right. But it went like this. Basically, when someone's looking at my life, my schedule, my finances, my conversations and priorities, would they recognize God first?
Yeah.
You know, or would they recognize my accomplishments, or would they recognize God in me first? Like, what is it, you know, I'm doing? What am I portraying? And that's what's important. If somebody can see that the Lord's working in your life as number one, and all those things flow from him, that's where we need to stay, you know?
Yeah, it's really good. I think that actually hit all of us.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it kind of forced me to start asking myself, you know, what gets my first attention every morning?
Mm-hmm.
You know, do I reach for my phone? For me, that's yes. I reach for my phone. Or do I reach for my Bible? You know, what consumes my thoughts throughout the day? What do I spend the most time pursuing? You know, those questions really honestly reveal where our priorities are.
You know, they really do. And honestly, I had to ask myself the same hard questions too. You know, we talked about that last night. I mean, I pretty much said it out there. You know, I've gotten myself, my priorities kind of a little mixed up because a busy schedule, unfortunately, if you allow a busy schedule to consume you and not put God first, that will happen.
Mm-hmm.
So because our ministry can become very busy. Work, my work is always busy. You know, I talked about my deadlines. Every 3 months, my life is a crisis, you know, because I have deadlines. You know, so my work life consumes a part of my life during, you know, that time.
Yeah.
You know, life is just busy. And before you know it, you're spending all your time preparing for, you know, your daily tasks, whatever those are. If I'm preparing for ministry, I'm preparing, you know, like a lesson, or I'm preparing Facebook posts, or, you know, planning our outreaches. You know, if it's just stuff for work, you know, like I said, it's the deadlines that come up, you know, and those are about every 3 months. You know, right. I'm crunching deadlines. So that's just a dangerous place to be because, you know, you never want to replace God as your number one,
right?
You know, so we need to always look at that.
And that's such an important reminder, especially for people who are serving in ministry.
Mm-hmm.
You can become so focused on pouring into everyone else that your own relationship with the Lord quietly begins running on empty. And eventually people will notice that. And that's not because your ministry stops.
Right.
But because the joy starts fading.
Yeah.
The peace starts fading. The intimacy starts fading. That's why Jesus often withdrew to spend time alone with the Father. If Jesus needed time, then how much more do we need time? We need that time to fill our cups. You can't give from an empty cup.
And I think that's really where this lesson, you know, lands, this week's lesson lands. It's like, God isn't asking us how much ministry or how much work did you get done this week? He's asking, have you been with me?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's a completely different question. And honestly, it's one that we all need to answer. You can put ministry in that little box. You can say that word. You can say work. You could say children. You could say spouse. Is any money, is anything coming before God? You know,
yeah.
So because loving God with all our heart, soul, strength, you know, it's not about perfection. He's not looking for perfection. It's about continually placing him back on the throne of our hearts every single day. And that's a decision we make over and over and over.
Yeah.
You know, true. So Crystal, before we wrap up today, there's one more part of Deuteronomy 6 that I don't want us to like overlook. I think it's just as important as the command to love God. Right after Moses tells Israel to love the Lord with all their heart, soul, and strength, he says this beginning in verse 6, "And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children." I love there that Moses doesn't stop with personal devotion.
Right.
He immediately moves into passing our faith to the next generation and so on and so on. Mm-hmm. It was very important, that generational, you know, teaching of the Lord.
Yeah, and that really stood out to me too. It's almost as if Moses is saying, if God's word has truly taken root in your heart, it won't stay there.
That's right.
So you'll naturally want to share it. You'll teach it. You'll talk about it. You'll live it. And people around you, they will see it.
That's it. I mean, we are we teach each other. And I don't think it just stops even with the junior generations. Like, we go out and we teach people. We go out, we do outreach ministry. We're teaching our little Riley, you know, the word. She knows her scripture. I wish we could get her. Maybe we'll try and see if she can say her scripture here on the podcast before we go off. But, you know, that's important because it's not just the generations, but it's even in ministry, we should be teaching people. And we're not pastors. You know, we didn't say that in the beginning. So, you know, we've back at it. You know, we are just girls who love the Lord and we teach in Bible study in our home. And I think that's where sometimes we've unintentionally made Christianity more complicated than God intended.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he just wants us to teach generations. We sometimes think teaching our children or grandchildren or others about God means sitting down for an hour-long Bible lesson every evening. Now, if that family does that, that's great. That's wonderful. You know, but that's not exactly what Moses described. So listening to what he's listening here, what he says, he says, you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down and when you rise up. He's describing our everyday life. He's saying, talk about God, you know, around the dinner table, while driving to school, while on vacation, if you're working in the yard, you know, before bedtime, first thing in the morning. You know, faith isn't meant to stay inside a synagogue. And that's why beyond the church walls, we want to take it outside. So not just our families, but to others. It was meant to be woven in and out of everyday living.
Yeah. And I love that because, you know, just it takes away the pressure of feeling like we have to create some elaborate lesson every day.
Right.
Sometimes just the greatest lessons happen during ordinary moments.
Uh-huh.
You know, when a child asks a question or when someone is hurting, when a prayer gets answered, you know, those moments become opportunities to point people back to God. And I know we had a close friend who was in a car accident last night. Thank God her and her baby are safe. So on the way, us telling Andrew about it, and on the way here, we actually prayed. I was like, Riley, we're going to pray for them today. And right. We prayed. We thank God for their protection, for his hand upon them. And we said, amen. And she says, Mommy, that was good.
She's so precious. You know, and honestly, that's really the heart behind our ministry, Beyond the Church Walls. People often ask us why we chose that name. It's because, you know, we believe our faith was never meant to stay inside the four church building walls. You know, church is important. Please don't take what I'm not saying there. Church is very important. Corporate worship is very important. Our Bible studies is important.
Right.
But walking with Christ doesn't end with when the, you know, that service ends,
right?
You know, it continues to meet every Monday, every Tuesday afternoon, every single day of the week. You know, Wednesday at work, you're still ministering, you know, right. Thursday with the grocery store, hopefully you're still ministering, Friday and so forth. You know, ministering is people seeing Christ in you. That's ministering as well.
Yeah.
You know,
and if we're honest, we're not going to find everybody in the church walls.
No,
there's absolutely been people who we have non-believers we have to reach. There are people who have been church hurt, who have given up on the church itself.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not going to reach everybody in a church. That's why it's important to take it outside the walls.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, what you said, that's such a good reminder because, you know, people are watching how we live. Do the believers or do the non-believers see Jesus in us, right, or do they just see another ordinary person, you know? Oh, this person says they're Christian, but are they really?
Well, the hypocrisy, you know, that's people who see Christians who are non-believers, that's the first word they generally come up with is, oh, such hypocrites. You know, you don't want to be called that because you want to truly reflect the Lord.
Right. And, you know, sometimes they'll hear our words, but they always, always see our actions. And those actions should always reflect the love of Christ.
Absolutely. You know, one question I kept asking myself throughout this week's study was, if someone watched my life for 1 week without ever hearing me say I'm a Christian, would they know Christ lived in me?
Yeah.
You know, would they know that I put him first? Not because I quoted scripture, not because I attended church, but because of how I treated people, how I handled stress, you know, how I'm responding to things when they don't go my way, how I love on others. I mean, that's truly a humbling question. Mm-hmm. And because loving God with all our hearts should affect every single relationship we have.
Oh, yeah, it really should. And I think that's something every listener can ask themselves this week, too. You know, not to feel guilty, but to honestly invite God to search our hearts.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes he will reveal things we never even realized had become distractions. He doesn't do that to condemn us. He does it because he loves us too much to leave us where we are.
Yeah, that's true. And God has always been more interested in the transformation than information. You know, he doesn't care that you could quote every scripture in the Bible. He isn't asking us to become perfect overnight. You know, he's asking us to keep surrendering to him day after day, choice after choice, moment after moment. And that's what loving him with all your heart looks like. It's like waking up every morning saying, Lord, today belongs to you. You know, my thoughts belong to you. My family belongs to you. Work belongs to you. You know, lead me today. Yeah. Those are questions, or, you know, those are things, not questions. Those are statements we should be saying, asking the Lord to do for us. I think if every believer started their morning that way, you know, our days would look a whole lot different.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you agree?
Yeah, I agree.
So we're going to just do a few questions and answers. You know, to kind of reflect what we discussed last night in our Bible study. The first question is, what does it actually mean to love God with all your heart? What did we come up with last night?
I think it means allowing God to shape what we value the most. You know, it's easy to say we love him, but what honestly captures our attention? What influences our decisions? What do we think about throughout the day? So loving God with all our heart means he's the one directing all of those things.
I agree. And I think I'd add this. It's choosing him even when our feelings don't cooperate. You know, love isn't simply an emotion. Biblical love is faithful commitment.
Right.
Okay, so question two, what's one modern day distraction that can quietly pull our hearts away from God?
Oh, goodness. Busyness, without question. I would say busyness. And I'm not saying like not necessarily sinful things, just constant activity. You know, sometimes we're so busy checking things off our list that we forget to spend that quality time, that one-on-one time with the one who gave us the day.
Yeah. I probably add distractions throughout like technology. We talked about that last night. Like our phones are, they're great tools. However, social media can be used for God's glory, but it can also be a complete distraction away from him.
Hold on.
Okay, so little Riley wants to say her verse that she's been learning from church. So go ahead, Riley.
Your kingdom will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Matthew 6:10.
Yay, such a good job, baby. Good job. So I think the last question, what's one practical step every listener can take away this week?
I would say maybe instead of reaching for your phone tomorrow, and reach for your Bible, you know, even if it's only 10 minutes, just start your day reminding yourself who is truly first.
Yeah, I love that. And here's mine. Ask God one simple question every morning. You know, like, Lord, is there anything competing, you know, for first place in my heart? You know, then be willing to listen.
Right.
You know, he's always faithful to answer if we're willing to listen.
That's true.
You know, so Crystal, would you mind closing us in prayer?
Heavenly Father, thank you for reminding us through your word that what you desire most is our hearts. Thank you for your incredible love demonstrated through Jesus Christ. Thank you for your patience when we drift and for your faithfulness that continually calls us back to you. Lord, forgive us for the times we've allowed good things to become greater than you. Forgive us when we've become distracted, busy, or self-reliant. Teach us what it truly means to love you with all our heart, all our soul, and all our strength. May our homes reflect you. May our conversations honor you. May our work glorify you. May our families see Christ in us. Help us to faithfully teach the next generation, not only with our words, but with our lives. As we leave this episode today, may each person listening draw closer to you than they were when they pressed play. We love you, Lord. We ask all these things in your precious and mighty name. Amen.
Amen. So, well, thank you so much for joining us for another episode of Unfiltered Faith Beyond the Church Walls. We pray today's conversation encouraged you and challenged you to examine your own heart as you continue walking with the Lord. If today's episode blessed you, would you do us a favor? Share it with a friend, a family member, your Bible study group, or someone you think needs this encouragement. It really helps us reach more people with God's word.
And don't forget to follow Beyond the Church Walls Ministry on all of our platforms. You can find us on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, and TikTok, where we share daily devotionals, encouragement, ministry updates, Bible studies, and podcast episodes throughout the week.
And if you're enjoying this Deuteronomy series, we'd also love for you to leave us a review wherever you listen to the podcast. Review helps others discover the podcast, and they encourage us as we continue producing biblical content each week. And remember, our 12-week Deuteronomy Bible study guide is available on Amazon. Or if you'd like a free digital PDF, simply message us directly through the Beyond the Church Walls Ministry Facebook page. We'd be honored to give you a copy. Until next week, keep your eyes on Jesus, keep growing in his word.
And remember, our faith was never meant to stay inside the church. We're called to live beyond the church walls. God bless you all, and we'll see you next time.